Voices of the Temple, official podcast of the Temple of Witchcraft, exploring mystery and magic through love, will, and wisdom. Hosted by Adam Sartwell. Greetings, everyone, and welcome to Voices of the Temple. To get us into our sacred space, let's breathe together. And we'll do a little invocation. Take a deep breath in, and then out. And breathe in, and out. And get yourself in that mindset of perfect love and perfect trust. I call to the Great Spirit. I call to the two who move as one. Through the three rays of love, will, and wisdom, I call upon the goddess, maiden, mother, and crone, past, present, and future, creator, sustainer, and destroyer, weaver of the web. I call to the god, lord of light and lord of darkness, god of the green and gold, god of the horn and the red, singer of the song. Be with us now and forever, so mote it be. Well, my first little thing of business is to tell you about the music that I was using instead of my usual jingle from GarageBand. Is from Music for Ritual, Litha. It was done by Ed Newton and Derek O'Sullivan. You may know them from our Temple Wheel of the Year rituals. They are the guys who do the drumming, the all of our musical accompaniment. The one that I used there was Upper World, which is it sounds like it's all woodwind. It's really very cool. You can see more of them at www.myspace.com/untitled, spelling it UNTITLD. I'm sure the guys would love to have you email them or ask them for CDs and stuff. And we should really support them because they support us in giving us our music during our rituals. Today with us on Voices of the Temple is Matuka Moonbear. She is the lead minister of Cancer, the zodiac sign, not the disease. She's very, very articulate and very cool, and we took a little longer than I usually take on my interviews, so I have to shorten my news segment to basically nothing other than to tell you to go to templeofwitchcraft.org and see all of the upcoming events that we're going to have. There are so many good things going on with the temple right now. So many things that I can't even fit it into the podcast. But to give you a little teaser, I guess, we have the next Wheel of the Year ritual will be July 31st. It'll be for Lammas. And then about 2 weeks after that is August 13th, which is the Feast of Hecate. Has yours truly as the high priest for that. And we also have ongoing full moon rituals for 13 lucky participants who email Pisces@templeofwitchcraft.org. And those are really cool. I can't tell you how cool they are because it's doesn't get described by words very well, but it is very awesome and has so much potential for learning to go to those. And we have our women's circles, which Matuka will tell you more about in our interview. And yeah, I hope that you go to our website at templeofwitchcraft.org and find out all about all the things that we're doing. There are some witchcraft series events coming up. There's also some witchcraft classes coming up that you can go to if you want to do that. Without further ado, we'll move right on into our interview with Matuka Moonbear. And for my little transition into our interview, I'll be playing Underworld from Music for Litha. Matuka, and she is the Cancer Ministry head honcho, because we don't use arch anymore, much to my dismay. So tell us about the what it's like to be the head of the Cancer Ministry.
You know, I feel more like the feet a lot of the times. So, all the body parts get involved.
Yeah.
Honestly.
Yeah.
But it's cool, you know, it's all good. I have a group of women that I'm working with closely, so I never really feel like the head. I feel more like the foot or the hand, whatever's needed at the time.
Just a part of what's going on.
Yeah, part of what's going on, kind of like the triple goddess.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so you're just directing by doing, basically.
Mostly, yeah.
And you certainly have an army of women, like, behind you. It seems like to me, being the Virgo minister, because I have like two other people, maybe, that help me.
Well, honestly, it comes down to that. It comes down to the basic two, maybe three women that are regular.
Mm-hmm.
That's
cool. So, what does the Cancer Ministry do? What are you guys working on recently?
Right now, we're focusing a lot of our energy in the Women's Mysteries portion or aspect of the ministry, because I feel that's where we're going to give birth to the other aspects.
Mm-hmm.
And it was, you know, it's only been three gatherings so far, but each time I feel as though the progress of the bonding that mm-hmm. it'll take to make everything else happen is already germinating.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, kind of like a garden.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So you guys are planting new things together, working on that woman's mystery.
Mm-hmm.
So you guys do the women's circles.
Mm-hmm.
And since I have never been to one, because I have a penis.
That would bar you.
Yes, that would bar me. Tell us about it. What's it like working with, you know, women who are practicing?
It's great, actually. Right now, what we do is a very similar circle to organize such like a Sabbath,
mm-hmm.
Because that's where things have been falling.
Yeah.
So the past three have been working with the different aspects of goddess, like beginning at maiden.
Mm-hmm.
And then bringing that maiden energy, no matter what age or stage a woman was in, and mm-hmm. have her get in touch with that aspect in herself, and then work that into the magic of the ritual and meditation and working. We usually do a small working.
Oh, yeah. Cool. It's kind of interesting that you bring that up. It makes me think of how each person may not be a maiden,
right,
like at that point, but each of us carries that energy within us.
Absolutely.
I mean, little children, you know, carry the crone in them.
Exactly.
Like, you know, and sometimes the crone comes out and starts talking through the little kids.
Absolutely. And I've actually seen it happen.
So it's very interesting that you say that, you know, you're
sort of working with each part of the cycle of womanhood.
Yeah.
Which I think is really...
One of my favorites is to see an elder woman bring her little girl out. Oh, I love it.
Yeah. And they're important parts of us to speak with and work with.
Absolutely.
Yeah. What about your work with the food pantry and the food bringing of to rituals and stuff?
Right now, we're doing it at the temple Sabbats only. I haven't even integrated it into the women's circles yet.
Yeah.
Because I wanted to kind of get a handle on how that was going to flow.
Yeah.
And our very first one was the biggest. We had like 75 pounds of mm-hmm. food, and it's been dwindling a little bit, so I kind of think I need to pump that. But it's going fine. We take the donations to the New Hampshire Food Bank, mm-hmm. and they accept it and look at me kind of cross-eyed when I say Temple of Witchcraft. Really? Yes.
Yeah.
You want me to write that? Absolutely.
Yes. Yeah. I think it's good that, you know, we as a temple organization and a religious organization for pagans get that recognition.
Absolutely.
Because there's hundreds of Christian organizations and Buddhist organizations mm-hmm. and all of that have been donating food, time, money, tithing these things for generations. But, you know, we pagans, we do a lot too.
We do, and we do it in many flavors. It's important to be recognized. I belong to other groups also that we deal with animals and
mm-hmm.
and other food drives. So we like them to know that we're here doing the work also and to be taken seriously.
Yeah.
So I think that's part of... It's a small dose right now, but we'll build it up.
Yeah. I think so. And I think in the future we may, like, you know, come have certain events where there will be, like, a certain
focus
mm-hmm. to it, where, you know, bringing a certain donation, like
harvest would be good.
Yeah, some harvesting would be really good. And also, like, what I think is best about pagans in general is that our celebrations are spread out. So, you know, our donations are going to go throughout the year. They won't be just at Christmas,
mm-hmm.
you know? So, I just think that's pretty amazing.
It makes us special.
Yeah. And just a, you know, side note, coming up, we're going to have the, you know, the Feast of Ekate. Yes, so, and during that, we're not doing the food donations, we're doing donations to the local animal shelter. So, if you're bringing, you know, have to bring things for dogs and cats and, you know, of course, more towards dogs, because Ekate, she loves her dogs.
Mm.
But, yeah.
Take care of those hounds.
Mm-hmm. So, what brought you to witchcraft?
The story is very long, but I'll try to make it very short.
Well, you don't have to.
Oh, okay. So, what is interesting is I spent my teen years very fascinated with the word witch, and I really felt that magic. I felt I had something, but I couldn't find anything. There was nothing available to read except for stupid things.
Yes.
And you know, I thought, you know, I kind of sat with it a bit and stuff, but there was nothing... to work, I didn't know what to do.
Mm-hmm.
But I had some magical experiences in my childhood in apple orchards and things like that. So I kind of let it go as I entered my early adult life. And I had a metaphysical store in the late 80s. And one day, this elder woman came into the store. She's a crone. And she went through the whole store looking around like she was searching for something.
Mm-hmm.
And she made me a little uncomfortable. She was the only person there at the time, you know. I'm like, what's going on? She comes up to me and she looks me square in the eyes
mm-hmm.
and says, are you Wiccan? No. Well, you should be. She left, you know. And I knew she meant witch. I mean, I totally got that because,
mm-hmm.
you know. And I'm like, huh, that was interesting. It wasn't very long after that I picked up a Cunningham book. I think it was Earth Power.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And read it cover to cover. I sucked it up like in a day.
Yeah.
And I said, ooh, okay, this is what I was looking for when I was a teenager. I couldn't find it anywhere.
Yeah.
So that started the whole process. Would you believe I got to be friends with this elder woman, and I self-dedicated at her house in 94.
Wow.
Yeah. So, and that was the start. And then, you know, I've had other dedications after that, but that was the beginning.
Cool.
Of the real juice of it, you know?
Yeah. Now, how do you feel about the word witch? Do you use it? Do you use another
label? I identify as a witch.
Yeah.
I've tried other labels on because I have tendencies towards shamanism and things like that, mm-hmm. but honestly, I think that the beauty of witch is that it really umbrellas it all, you know, yeah. for me.
Mm-hmm.
I'm very comfortable with the word. I know it's not...
Yeah, not
a lot of people
is.
Aren't.
Yeah.
You know, they would rather, you know, take different words. You know, but it's who I am. It's on my profile on Facebook.
Yeah. Cool. So, here's a good one. Do you have any stories of magical manifestations you want to share?
Yeah, actually, my favorite story is, this is really kind of cool. So, like 4 years ago, I went to a Pagan Pride camping move, mm-hmm. and I met Ren, and we became fast friends. Like, we were best friends, like, from that day forward. And so he was away for a while and came back 2 years later and said, oh, we're gonna teach this rune series together. I'm like, okay, I guess, all right. Well, so how we're going to do this is we're going to go through the whole process, a year process, like on a weekly basis. I'm like, are you kidding? And he's like, no, we'll do it. Well, it'll be fine. And I'm like, okay. I mean, he spoke mm-hmm. with such authority. What was I to do? I'm like,
yeah.
Sure, you're my best friend. I trust you. Okay. So, there was like three weeks into it, you get to this, like, you get to Gibo and the gift and
mm-hmm.
and partnership. And I don't know, the exchange of the working that particular day, he looked at me and he goes, I think the gods just married us. And I'm like, what? So the magical thing is that I had been working on sacred partnership prior to that.
Mm-hmm.
As a regular meditation and whatever. So it was a spontaneous moment, and we recognized that we were in love,
yeah.
and things very quickly evolved thanks to working with runes. So
cool.
Yeah.
That's very cool.
That's my favorite one.
Yay.
There's lots of others, but...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. So partnership.
Yeah.
Sacred partnership. Mm-hmm. Not just any partnership.
So... I know you've been doing the Priestess Path
mm-hmm.
stuff.
Mm-hmm.
What's that like? What's that system like?
All right. Here's the cool part. It's a mystery school.
Mystery.
Very mysterious. So, what I can tell you, though, is it usually consists of 24 women.
Mm-hmm.
And we learn to bond, work together and trust each other. And the workings are primal mother archetypes, getting very close to the earth, doing very primal workings.
Mm.
Very.
Yeah.
It's intensive, and I processed a lot every time,
yeah.
sometimes very physically.
Mm-hmm.
And, but it's cool. I recommend it to anybody who really wants to grow, get to know themselves. I really face my shadow self there.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's very powerful. That's what I can tell you.
Mm.
Otherwise, it's a mystery.
It's a mystery. Yes. And you have to be very dedicated to do that path, I assume.
Absolutely. Here's the dedication. She has this phone call thing. It's led by the founder is Elisa Starkweather,
mm-hmm.
and she has a phone conference with you, so you know all the logistics of what is expected. That you have 9 weekends, I believe, of gathering,
mm-hmm.
and they are Friday, Saturday, and Sundays, and they're always on the day that you want to do something else.
Yes, well.
I promise you, it's mm-hmm. true.
Yeah.
And also the financial part of it is large.
Yeah.
And so that's a commitment. Yeah, and so you have to be willing to forsake everything to do it.
Yeah.
And that's even the biggest challenge, I think, for a lot of people.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Definitely.
It's a mystery school with a lot of commitment.
Yes, yeah. Well, that's interesting that you are so dedicated to the craft that you did that line of dedicated work. So, speaking of dedicated work, what is your day-to-day practice like?
It's very interesting. Well, for the most part, what's consistent is... I like to ground and center at night, so I go through my chakras
mm-hmm.
and imagine, you know, my aura being vibrant and strong,
mm-hmm.
And then certain other things will vary, like communing with goddess, a particular aspect, something that I might be working on,
mm-hmm.
Oh, I like to draw cards or runes or amulets, too, because then they become a focus or a meditation process for the day.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, and, of course, I like to play with candles and things.
Oh, of course. Yes. Yeah. Do magic and such.
Yeah. Like that.
Okay. Cool. Do you have any gods or goddesses that you feel particularly drawn to?
Yes. You might be surprised to hear that Hakate would be one.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, how surprising.
Yes. But yeah, the triple aspect of the moon is very much and has always been. That's where actually my moon bear name came from.
Mm-hmm.
I have a Greek ancestry, and Artemis, art means bear.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I was born on the full moon, so, and it's in my first house, so I'm very identified.
With the moon.
With the moon.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not surprising that you're in the Cancer ministry.
It's kind of fell together.
Lunar.
I know.
Associations.
It's just wild. But I also feel my earth connection is the corn mother. So the grain goddess is very much, but it is a corn mother particularly. I think that's more the native flavor in my lineage.
So not like Ceres or...
No, I
Demeter.
Couldn't really get into them, probably because their mythologies don't resonate for me.
Yeah.
But I honor that
yeah.
connection. And yeah, but just more the corn mother, there's a Cherokee story that I really resonated with. It taught me a lot about women's original wound and mm-hmm. the earth's wound as
yeah.
far as mankind's imbalance with it. So
yeah,
it works. Yeah.
Cool. I think it's neat that having done some of these interviews that how diverse all the witches are in our temple, and that they have sought out so many different ways of working, that it's very special and unique.
Yeah, I would say that everybody has a different spiritual expression of their process, so that's why you can't categorize anything exactly.
Yeah. So, I had this question that I wrote with Steve, because I was like, how do I phrase this? So I'm just going to read it from the paper, because I will probably screw it up. The mysteries bring forth the idea that there are separate mysteries and powers attributed to the sexes.
Mm-hmm.
The Cancer Ministry oversees the spiritual mysteries of women.
Mm-hmm.
What do you feel are the mysteries of women and women's mysteries?
Wow, that is a very interesting question.
And there's more to that question, but I'm just going to start with
let's
that.
Just go with that right
yeah.
now, because that's a mouthful right there. First of all, the common bond between the majority of women, and it's not always all, but the majority of women, for the most part, are designed to menstruate.
Mm-hmm.
Have wombs and therefore conceive.
Yeah.
And so that right there has a bond, a cyclic bond,
mm-hmm.
which very much goes with a lunar cycle.
Yeah.
And so I feel very guided and attracted to that aspect. But that's not everything, because there's also the psyche of a woman. Mm-hmm. And the psyche of a woman, they process information from a different place than men. Mm-hmm. And learning to open that communication up authentically and in power without imbalance is the goal of the mystery, of some of those mysteries, you know, because they're a little skewed these days. Mm-hmm. So that would be the commonality gender-wise.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I find also that women are better at working as a group than men are, or at least that's what I've seen.
Most of the times I have found that to be true.
Yeah, they work better as the group, and, you know, they have better group consciousness that way.
Or at sacred least, sisterhood has a lot to do with it. I think that's part of that psyche piece, is there's a circle, a fabric of women. Mm-hmm. And once another woman plugs into that, healing process begins and integration begins. So,
yeah, it's very cool.
It can be. I've also seen a dark side of it, though.
Yeah.
I've been privy to it quite a few times, actually. So, healing that for women.
Yeah. So, in the temple, the men's mysteries are covered by Capricorn, and the queer ministries are covered by Gemini. Mm-hmm. How do you think the women's ministries or mysteries differ from those of men, of transsexuals, of intersex?
That is such a loaded question. I had long talks with Ren about that particular. I'm like, oh my God, that's an intense question. But the difference is, I think there, first of all, I'd like to talk about, if you don't mind, the commonality, is that we're all human.
Yeah.
You know, and that we're all connected regardless of gender or sexual orientation. And so I'd like to talk about community at large that is all together.
Yeah.
You know, that's important, I think. So when we recognize the sameness, we can get into dissecting.
Yeah.
What was that question specifically?
Okay, I'll read it again. Do you think the women's mysteries, differ from those of men, of transsexuals, and of the intersexed?
Well, again, if I want to take the women's mysteries to what I had mentioned earlier about the womb and the lunar cycles with their blood, right there, that kind of separates everything.
Yeah.
You know?
Because men don't menstruate.
They just don't. They cycle.
They cycle.
They don't menstruate, and they don't conceive.
Yeah. And psychologically, I think.
And I don't think they psychologically cycle the same way.
Yeah. It's supposed to be longer, like a 3-month pattern instead of.
Yeah. And I think they cycle also very much with the sun.
Yeah.
So I feel that piece makes a difference. Mm-hmm.
And do you feel that there are different mysteries to the transsexual and intersex?
Actually, I do, because the journey is different.
Yeah.
And I do think it would be a powerful thing for any transgendered person to cycle their way, and if they feel guided, to be unified with a mystery, maybe the loss that they feel of not having a woman, a male to female, for instance, may feel a loss of not having had the womb or menstruate or bearing children.
Yeah.
And therefore need a healing process, you know, and I think there's just so much involved. And there are many women who are probably born without a womb.
Yeah.
Who also need that.
Yeah.
You know, so there are some differences that need healing.
Do you feel the mysteries are changed by sexual orientation?
Mysteries are changed by... Oh, no.
No?
I don't. So I think that's an individual thing for a person.
Yeah.
I think that whether a woman is lesbian, bisexual, or heterosexual, or however she sees herself, or asexual.
Yeah.
She still cycles.
Yeah.
And therefore it exists for them. And whether or not, how they dance with it is, tells the story.
Hmm.
Yeah.
One of the thoughts that I had there, was that there's a different energy quality to the transgendered and intersex, that it's both, it's hard to link up for me, for, like, you know, but mm-hmm. if you can do it with a man, like, mm-hmm. you know, like, energetically. Mm-hmm. And I also wanted to say that, like, in our history as witches, like the Gardnerian, and sometimes I think believe Alexandrian, both try to have that one male to one female, you know, in each circle, so that they're all balanced. Mm-hmm. And do you find that that's important at all, or do you think that we've grown beyond that? I mean, mm-hmm. obviously you do women's circles that have a man in them, so mm-hmm. obviously there's a different polarity going on there than there would be in, say, right, male to female circle.
That's a good question, actually. In a woman's circle, obviously, the goal is about sacred sisterhood and safety, creating a safe container so that they can heal their voice and mm-hmm. Empower, you yeah. know, and have a place of trust. The magic is different.
Yeah.
Because the goals are different. In a circle that incorporates both energies, male-female energies, I think that we're talking about all people now. I think yeah. that we're taking all people, regardless of orientation mm-hmm. or anything, and weaving all together as yeah. a sacred community, a kindred, if you will.
Yeah.
So the goals are different. Energetics, yes, they are different. Both pleasant and exciting,
yeah.
but different, and the yeah. goals are different. So it's fair to say that. There have been times when a person who's transitioning, I find it hard to follow the energy of. But I think that's because they're finding it hard.
Yeah.
You know, and it's just, you know, and so you just hold space, you yeah. know. And
I find them, though, very dynamic people. Very...
so much courage.
Yeah, so much courage, so much, I want to say focus. Mm-hmm. And there's... Even though I personally can't connect, it's like you want to. It's like the mm-hmm. you know, moth to the mm-hmm. flame sort of energy. So it's very cool.
Mm-hmm. Many times I feel out of the loop too.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I think that's because, truthfully, if they would if they acknowledge the differences
yeah.
of who they are. Yes, there's a place in community for yeah. that, but there's also a right to have your own space in that.
Mm-hmm. That's
you know,
true.
Just like a woman's community or a men's community, there yeah. has to be that integrative, and I'm a little different too, and I need that space of people who know the journey,
mm-hmm. yeah.
and I can relate with that. So I yeah. think that we have like three hoops in a way going
yeah.
with that.
And I think it's so important... the work that you're doing with women, because from my own experience, like having, you know, doing the gay men's circle and doing Between the Worlds, where it's all men mm-hmm. and all gay men, mm-hmm. to be specific, and the energy, and it's like coming home mm-hmm. a lot. So the energy feels like there's a huge acceptance, and it's very healing.
Yeah.
And I think that women and men need that.
Absolutely.
I want to suggest to the Capricorn minister to be like, you need to, like, urge some straight men to, you know, make their own circle, because I think it's important that they come together and realize that they're all on the same path.
Right. It's harder to get... my experience has been in other groups, harder to get men together
yeah.
than it is women. Men don't, they're very individualized and don't enjoy gathering as much.
Yeah.
From what I have experienced and seen.
I think it's a difference of focus. Mm-hmm. Like, a woman's vibe is very group-focused and very working together, and mm-hmm. whereas the men have been, I don't know if it's training or genetics, but there is an energy of, that's my goal, I'm working towards it, mm-hmm. get in my way, I'll cut you. You know, men can be very strong and terse, right. but, they don't, they seem to be able to work well if there are women involved, and, right.
Yourself.
It's very different with gay men, though. I find they're focused on a different thing. So, I mean, not to get dirty or anything, but their focus is different and it's also very intense.
I think the focus is different because there's much more, the balance of the feminine principle exists already. Isn't war with that.
Yeah. Well, it has been a pleasure.
Thank you.
And we'll say goodbye to our listeners.
Goodbye, listeners!
Bye, listeners! It was great!
And that's all we have for today for our program. Please check out templeofwitchcraft.org and get in the know about what's going to happen in the next coming months. Also, please check out www.myspace.com/untitled for some of the music that I've put on to the podcast. We're just going to do our de-invocation together as we came into this sacred space, so shall we leave it. We thank the Great Spirit, the two who move as one. We thank the three rays of love, will, and wisdom. We thank the God and the Goddess who move through us and work with us. May we recognize your presence in our lives. Blessed be. Merry meet and merry part and merry meet again, everyone. Blessed be. You've been listening to Voices of the Temple. The contents of this podcast are copyright 2010 of the Temple of Witchcraft. For more information, please visit templeofwitchcraft.org.